Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key.
I need somebody to help me. Lift him up. Lift Jesus up. This is Jesus' season. But every day is Jesus' season. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to Glory United Ministries Christmas programs. The very next voice you hear will be that of Pastor Patricia Benjamin.
Thank you.
God, for Jesus on tonight. We thank God for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not sure where Dr. Scott found that particular song, "Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem," but I'm glad it ended because I was about to go to sleep. I tell you, it's a little different from what I had expected. But however, I hope my church mother is with us on this evening. I want to give honor to God and who is the head of my life, and then honor to Dr. Gregory Scott, who is my host and who is my co-laborer in the ministry. And then to my dear sister, Sister Jackie, in South Carolina, and to my South Carolina family listeners on this evening. I tell you, if you were not on last week, you missed a treat. My church mother sang out of the depths of her soul. My God, today she sang "Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." I tell you, she worked with that. She made my heart glad, and I hope those of you that was listening enjoyed it as well. She brought life to the song. Didn't put you to sleep at all. I tell you, I thank God for her joy bells ringing in my soul on this evening. Well, we've had a rainy day pretty much practically all day, but like I told someone, they said, well, it'd be okay if we didn't have the rain. Well, maybe it would be, but it wouldn't be okay if you went to your faucet to turn it on to get some water. Maybe you may not be drinking the water from your faucet, but you're flushing the toilet, that's for sure, with the water from the faucet or in the pipe there that runs to the bathroom. So we need the rain as well as the sunshine. When I was in Vegas, it's very, very hot there, very dry. And we inquired about, because it's desert, where do you get your water? It doesn't rain here. How do you have water in your reservoirs? I mean, how are we able to shower? How are we able to flush the toilet? How are we able to do these things? And then there, it's so dry here. Rain is not here often, maybe once every 10 years, I don't know. But however, they don't get a lot of rain there. That's my point. It was well taken. The young man was riding in the Uber with him who lived there for over 10 years. And he had came in from New York, I believe he lived, and he moved out there. And he said because it was so much cheaper, because the casinos, the money that they make off the casinos, practically run everything. And I'm telling you, if you've never been to Vegas, you need to take the trip there. Everybody in Vegas is not sinning. Don't believe that lie. There's people, good people that live in Vegas. I enjoyed the people that I was around. And it's just, you know, it was funny because he says it's so much cheaper because of the casinos there. It made taxes and that sort of thing a lot cheaper. And I listened to him talk, and then I thought about, he's right, because I have traveled to many cities before, but when I got off that plane there in Vegas, they have in the lobbies, in, you know, the airport itself, slot machines in the airport. You don't even have to leave out of the airport before playing slots. I'm telling you, it's not a place for a gambler. It's really not a place for you if you are stuck on gambling, because it will get you. Because, I mean, you can go into the grocery store and there are slots in the grocery store. I was fascinated with all of that stuff, and I did not play not one slot whatsoever. The hotel that I'm in, on the ground floor, the lobby, there are slots everywhere, music everywhere, beer everywhere, they're smoking there. I mean, they're doing it all, but I wasn't there to indulge in that. I was there to celebrate my birthday and to go to some of the clean shows. I went to the Gospel Fest there. That was held in the House of Blues, but because the blues wasn't in the house during the time church was, I went in there and enjoyed church and the dinner too, but the breakfast, because it was the gospel brunch. And I had a wonderful time just enjoying the creation of God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, whether you're in Vegas or whether you're in Germany, whether you're in Germany or whether you're in New York, whether you're in New York or in Nevada. Well, that's another part, too, of Vegas there, Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada. That is the place, the state, and what have you. But whether you're in Washington, D.C. on tonight, or whether you're in South Carolina, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, I'd like to really hear another version of that, because that one really just about did me in. It's a good thing that I know Jesus for myself, and I have him on the inside of me. I've been baking today, making cookie batters and stuff. I'll bake tomorrow, making bread, making cakes, and just telling God thank you for the gift of baking. Oh, bless his name. If my church mother is available, before I go into the scripture, we won't be long. This is the Christmas, and I'm giving you all a chance to shop or get off the phone and wrap your gifts or just kick back and enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm enjoying the rain. Others are getting snow. I know New York, my home place, we're going to be getting snow. I chatted with my brother early we were texting one another back and forth, and he was sharing with me, and I watched the news, and they were telling of the snow that's coming. But the man said in Vegas, getting back to him in Vegas, he said the snow up in the mountain is where we get our water from. So you see, even the snow is important. I know in New York where I live, the snow helped our reservoirs to be filled so that you could water your grass, so that you could get a drink of water from the faucet back in the day. We had wonderful tasting water out on Long Island. But if your reservoirs dry up, then you would think that God was a cruel God. But God has a way of taking care of his creation, whether it be the earth or whether it even be a snake, because God created them. And everything God created, he said that it was good. Even that grandson that's out of control, God even sees him as good. Yes, even some people in the White House, God sees them as good. But he also said the soul that sinneth will surely die. And the enemy is always at odds against God. So we just thank God tonight for Jesus. Thank Jesus for his blood. Dr. Scott, if my church mother is on tonight, I'd like for her to sing us a Christmas song with a little joy in it and a little pep and whatever, if she's available. If not, we're going to go into the Word. Mother Janie, if you're there, push the one for Dr. Scott. Dr. Scott, I think tonight, if Mother Janie is there, could you just jot her last four down and pin it to your computer, so that you can automatically open her line when I need her to bless us with a wonderful song.
Hello?
Sister Jenny?
God bless you, Mother. There she is.
Hi, how y'all doing?
We're wonderful.
Okay, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a request from your sister Jackie, and I hope that she's listening, because she wants to hear this song, and I will do my best to sing it for her.
All right.
There's a God who knows it all.
That's right.
There's a God who knows it all. He rules the land, all powers in his hand. There's a God who knows it all.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's a God who knows it all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a God who knows it all.
Mm-hmm.
He rules all the land, all powers in his hand. There's a God who knows it all.
Yes.
Sometimes my burden, it gets heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's more than I can bear. But I go down on my knees, and I talk to Jesus, and I know he will answer prayer, 'cause there's a God who knows it all. There's a God who knows it all. There's a God who knows it all.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Mother. Thank you so much. There is a God who knows it all. She sang that as a request from my sister, Sister Jackie. And yes, there is a God on tonight who knows it all. He rules the land. He holds the power of this world in his hand. We serve a God who knows it all. And I am so eternally grateful tonight to God. My nephew was in an accident on Sunday night, I believe it was, and God spared his life. I was told that the vehicle was total loss. And, you know, we love our cars. We really do. And we love our shoes. And we love our coats and pocketbooks and all of that. But you know what? We need to learn how to love life, because I'm grateful to God that he had his hand on my nephew. The car's gone, but he's yet in the land of the living. And as I was talking with my niece, she said, I can get another car. We can get another car. She said, but I couldn't get another brother. And I know that's right. I know that's right. So we're just grateful tonight for his life. And I thought about him earlier today when I was in the kitchen. I do a lot of praying when I'm in the kitchen. And this is why I like being in the kitchen, because I pray while I'm making the cake, or I pray while I'm frying the chicken. I pray and say, well, how did you get to be such a good cook? I'm not a good cook. I have a lot of love while I'm in the kitchen for what I'm doing. And the love in me goes in to my food, so therefore it comes out with such an awesome taste. It has an awesome feeling to you. It makes you feel good. And I was praying, and I thought about my little nephew there, Tymaine. Jamel is gone and left us, but Ty, God still have here because there's things of work that God need him to do. God need him to surrender his life on tonight. Tell the Lord thank you because he has escaped many dangers, but God has smiled on him and allow him to yet be in the land of the living. But as I was fixing and doing, after I was chopping up the nuts or whatever it was I was doing, and I thought about Ty, and I began to pray. And not only did I pray, I began to thank God for keeping him and taking care of my nephew. And I said, Lord, I thank you. And I thought about when he was a little boy, oh, I don't know, much more than 6 or so years old, 6, maybe 7, I'm not sure. But he sang on the choir. And he sang, he that believeth shall have an everlasting life. He that believeth on the Father and the Son shall have an everlasting life. And then he began to sing, so glad, I'm so glad about it. So glad, I'm so glad about it. He that believeth, he that believeth shall have an everlasting life. Well, it's because Jesus was born, and then he was born to die so that we could have an everlasting life through him. Yes, we serve a God who knows it all. Church, well, I tell you, you all right with me. Can sing for me anytime. I enjoy you. So you just, well, if you on every week, get your little song ready to sing something in our hearing. If anybody on to have a request for Mother, just let somebody know and Mother can hook you up because she serves a God who knows it all. And while she was singing, my mind went back to the song, sound similar to that, somewhat of the same beat, to there is a bright side somewhere. Don't you rest until you find it. There is a bright side somewhere because we serve a God who knows it all. I tell you, that preach by itself, if I was going to preach tonight, I think I'd run with that. I serve a God who knows it all. He knows when I'm up and he knows when I'm down. He knows when I'm level to the ground. He knows every hair on my head is numbered. Technology, scientists, yes, we got Google, we got iPads, we got smartphones, smart TVs, we got professors, we got it all. We got just plain teachers, and we got pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists, and we got deacons, some men filled with the Holy Ghost, because in the Bible you couldn't be a deacon unless you were filled with the Holy Ghost. But nowadays they set the rules for whatever makes them happy. But I'm telling you, let me tell you something. I serve a God who knows it all. That's all right. I thank you, sister, for singing the song that was requested on tonight. I'm getting excited, and I just really wanted to read the stories about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because many of us know that it's Christmas, and we know that it's about Jesus' birthday, but some of us may not know how it all came about. Now, in the first, we were in Luke the first couple of weeks, and we finished the story over in Luke. So Luke and Matthew and all of them are pretty much telling the same story, but it's a little different. But I just want you to know you can find different things about the birth of Jesus. not just in Luke, but you can find it in Matthew's gospel as well. And so I wanted to read this in your hearing tonight. It's Matthew, St. Matthew chapter 1. Now, listen, it is hard to read St. Matthew chapter 1 because the lineage is there, the generation is there. Who begat this one, and this one begat that one, and that one begat that one, and that one begat that one. And it went with the begats for 14 generations of begats. Who got this one, or who made that one? Let's put it that way where you can understand what the begat meant. It means who fathered this child. Well, who was the father of that child? Well, where did that child come from? Well, that child came out of that one. And this one was the child. And that's what the begats are all about, where it started, who it started from, how that generation. I hear some people say, oh, that's just a fifth cousin. That's a distant cousin. But let me tell you something. The blood is still there. If it's a sixth cousin, you can run that back. You can trace that back to Uncle Joe had a boy, and Uncle Joe's boy had a boy, and then Uncle Joe's boy boy had a boy, and then Uncle Joe's boy 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 had a girl. But the blood still was the same. One thing about it, you can't water down blood. The blood is still rich. And if you're related, I don't care if you're the 19th cousin, you're related because the blood does not get thinner after the first cousin. The blood does not get thinner after the second cousin. The blood does not get thinner after the third cousin. The blood does not get thinner. The blood will run as long as there is life to that particular family. My grandfather, Mr. Benjamin, Mr. Roscoe Benjamin, he had cousins. So they were his cousins, and I'm his granddaughter. So if they were my grandfather's cousins, well, then they are kin to me. But they were my daddy's cousins before they were mine. And then from my daddy, I was born out of my daddy, so that made them my cousins because my daddy was born out of my grandfather. Well, this is what Matthew tells us about Jesus. If I don't stop, it'll be 8 o'clock in a few minutes. So let me move on from that. Read Matthew in your time when you're sitting around drinking your tea and trying to figure out what shall I do next. Pick up your Bible. And if you don't read but one verse a day, start with one verse. Start with something easy. Start with easy stuff. And then, well, the easiest to read is, I believe, Psalms, because it's simplistic. Most people can understand that. Proverbs is that way, too. But Proverbs says things in a little tricky way that is a little hard to understand until you dig in it, and then you'll see how it was talking and what it was talking about. But I'm telling you, I'm excited. I serve a God who knows it all. And when you serve a God, Lord, I can't get away from it. When you serve a God who knows it all, it is easy to sing joy to the world. When you serve a God who knows it all, you can sing, oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us, let us adore him. Christ, oh, God, I thank you. Christ the Lord. I'm excited on this evening. I tell you, hey, something about the name Jesus. Ah, it's sweeter than the honey. Ah, in the honeycomb. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father. Let's move on, because I tell you, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good on this evening. Thank you, Mama Janie. I tell you, woke me up. You snapped me back. Yes, Lord, I thank you. Yes, Jesus, I love you. Let's go to Matthew's gospel. I'll say it again. Matthew, St. Matthew, if you want to call it that, chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And we are going to start at verse 15. That is the easiest way to sum this up. Let's do verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph. In other words, Jacob made Joseph. His sperm was responsible for Joseph. The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Isn't that nice to know on this evening? Now, you know that out of Jacob came Joseph. And he was the husband to Mary. He was not the father of Jesus, but he was Mary's husband. So much so that Mary didn't have to bear any shame. Back then, you know, if you got pregnant out of wedlock, they'd stone you to death. Women have come a long way. A whole lot of women would be here if they go back to doing that stuff again. But so that she would not be put away because she was with child, Joseph marries her to keep her from being put away. But the baby that's on the inside of her, Joseph had nothing to do with. But because Joseph was a righteous man, Mary was pure, a virgin. She was clean enough in her mind and in her spirit that she could carry the Holy Ghost. That's who she was carrying. She was carrying the Holy Ghost. Jesus and God are spirits. They are beings. They are spirits. They're not human beings. They are spirits. But in order for us to see Jesus, in order for him to feel what we feel here on the earth, in order for him to understand, you look here, we serve a God who knows it all. He knows what it's like to have pain. He knows what it's like when you lose your loved one. He knows all of that. We serve a God who knows it all. Oh, bless his name. Whatever you're going through on this evening, whatever you've been dealing with down through the years and seem like there's no end to whatever is going on, you serve a God, or I serve one who knows it all. There's a song that we sang when I was growing up. He sees, he knows, and he cares. There are times when it seems that he's not there. There are times when my heart is filled with fear, but God sees the trouble when it comes about, and he knows just how to bring you out. God sees the troubles all over the land, and he knows the wickedness of man. God sees, he knows, and he cares. We serve a God on tonight that knows it all. We got to trust him to bring us, because he knows it all. There is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing that may go on with me from tonight on that my God don't know about it already. He already knows the end. He already knows the beginning. He knows now, be on tomorrow at the same time. I don't know. I say I'll be here, but only God knows. We serve a God who knows. You know, let's get back to Jesus. We're still in the Christmas. We're still in the Christmas. Oh, bless his name. Told you last week, there's no Christmas without Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon into Christ are 14. Unto Christ are 14 generations. That's a long line of blood there. If they keep on going, you might find out I might even be related to them. You just never know. We don't know where begat might have begotten. Oh, bless his name. You know, hallelujah, Jesus. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, meaning a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, he was not willing to let them put her to death. She was carrying what she was carrying on the inside of her. Oh, bless his name. Oh, my God, today I thank God for Joseph being the man that he was. Because, back in that time, if you find that your wife, your bride, the woman that you took to be your wife, and you lay with her on your wedding night when the two of you come together as one flesh because you're together, well, if he finds that she is, they call that unclean because she's been touched by another man, so therefore she's unclean. A whole lot of us wouldn't have got mad, I'm telling you right now. But he had never slept with her, but yet she's pregnant. Well, the only way to get pregnant is that a man had to lay with you in order for you to get pregnant. But here is a virgin who's pregnant. That's a miracle by itself. But how is this possible? And what am I going to do? I'm engaged to this woman. I have never laid with her. Now she's pregnant. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to expose her pregnancy so that they can kill her? Or what am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible says in this particular verse here, and then the writer here says that he was a just man. Well, you can read another version, and it'll say that he was a righteous man, meaning all the same. So it goes to say that he was a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He went on and said, you know, I'm going to not let this be known until after we're married, then it won't be anything said because then it's my wife. So it could very well be my child for all they know. By the time we get to the city of David, they won't know that I wasn't or I'm not the father of the child that she's carrying. So it goes on to say, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, see, because he came out of the house of David, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. She has not defiled herself. She has not laid with any man. She is still clean. She's pure. She's still a virgin. She is favored among women, all the women in the world at that time, this child, this woman, Mary, was favored by God for the way that she kept herself holy unto God. So the angel tells him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, see, if Joseph had any thought in his mind that who has she been with? Who has she laid with? Who is the father of this child in her? Who is the father? The questions was in his mind. He wouldn't ask her. He just began to ponder in his mind, who's the father of this child? I'm supposed to marry this woman, and she's unclean? But do I want to make a public example out of her? Because it was something that let him know that this was not the way it seemed. This was not how it looked. So God sent the angel quickly to speak to him and tell him that which is conceived in her was not done by a man. It was done by the Holy Ghost. My God, today. Woo! Listen here. It says, Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not. Look out, he couldn't even touch her, because he could not pollute her. He was there for transportation, for protection, to protect the Christ that was on the inside of her. He could not. Could you imagine getting married and your husband is not allowed to touch? That Joseph head may not understand that. But Joseph, being righteous, being a just man, God chose him just like he chose Mary. They were both chosen for that job. You were chosen for jobs from Jesus, and you have to carry them out the way they're supposed to be carried out. You serve a God who knows it all. Oh, bless his name. I'm excited on tonight. Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Woo! How wonderful. Oh, how precious is that name, Jesus. Joseph had to wait before he could touch his wife, because that what was in Mary was a holy thing. And he had to call his name Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight that the Holy Ghost sent us Jesus Christ in a human form, where he ate, he slept, he cried, he drank, he went to the bathroom just like us. He did everything here that humans do. He was a baby. He had to be fed. His diaper had to be changed. All of that took place with him because he took on a human body like you have and I have, just so that he could touch us. And he could know how, what we're dealing with. There is nothing too hard for my God. There is nothing that he cannot fix. We serve a God on tonight who knows it all. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the people on this evening of God says amen and amen again. Be safe. God bless you, Dr. Scott.